Because Jesus said he'll never leave me. Do you know that Satan's already defeated? The Bible says he is full of wrath because he knows he just has a little time left. The Bible says that Jesus openly defeated him at the cross. The devil's been whipped. But sometimes a man will fight the hardest just before he goes down. Paul said, I'm perplexed. Paul, I would think if anybody had a clear vision of what God wanted him to do, it'd be the Apostle Paul. In fact, I went back this week and I was reading through Acts, and I love the part where the elders in Antioch are praying and fasting and worshiping the Lord. There's the secret, elders. They were praying and fasting and worshiping and saying, what do you want us to do? And I said, the Holy Spirit said, set Paul and Barnabas apart for the work that I've called them to do. Now, that's clear direction. And it said the elders prayed and fasted and worshiped again, laid their hands on them, and the Holy Spirit sent them out. I just love that. It's like, wow, what a clear direction. You know, we all as Christians will say, you know, I don't really know if I'm doing what God wants me to do or not. And you're responsible to seek him out and find that out. I'll just tell you that. Don't ask me what God's will is for your life. I don't have a clue. I just know he has a plan for you if you're a child of God. But you know, they send them out, and you know what happens as soon as the first town they get into to preach? They're attacked. Wait a minute. I thought the Holy Spirit sent them to this town and said, they're wide open for the gospel, boys. I've been working ahead of you. You get in here and you preach the gospel, and they're just going to greet you with a big sloppy kiss. And thank you so much that you showed them the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that's not what happened. Some of the people believed. Some of them got downright mad. Got irritated. And Paul said, I'm perplexed. I'm going to tell you, when you're in ministry, it gets very confusing sometimes. And I've been a minister for 16 years, and I still say, God, are you sure? Are you sure this is what you want me to do? God bless you. And Paul said, I'm perplexed. This is another wrestling term that he's using. This refers to when an opponent has you in a hold and you can't get out of it and you don't know what to do. That's perplexed. We think of it as being a little bit, you know, confused. Paul said, I'm in this hold. I don't know what to do next. I'm in a situation. I don't know what to do next. Well, wait a minute. You got this clear commission from the Holy Spirit. What do you mean you don't know what to do? Well, these things rise up against me, and I'm doing this ministry God's called me to do. I'm out preaching the gospel. I'm witnessing to people. I'm casting out demons. But these things come against me. He said, I don't know what to do. That sounds strange to hear coming out of a man like Paul, but he said, I don't know what to do. You remember last week when we read Jehoshaphat's prayer? That's what he said to God. He said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Christian, that's where we need to stay. When we don't know what to do, don't give up. That's what the enemy wants you to do. Don't give up. You're walking by faith. Yeah, but I don't feel the victory. I feel this perplexity. I feel all this despair on me. Don't go by that. Go by the promise. Jesus said, I'll never leave you alone. I don't care how pressured you feel. If you are a child of God, you're not by yourself. In fact, the Spirit of Christ is in you. The Bible says it marks you as his son and his daughter. So he's right there with you. Well, how come he just didn't put a stop to everything? Because he is molding you into the image of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ learned through what he suffered. So you're no better than Jesus. And if God wants to use suffering to mold you, he will use suffering to mold you. Paul said, I'm perplexed. I don't know how to get out of this sometimes. But he said, I'm not driven to despair. The Greek says, I'm not utterly without resource. I love that. Devil's got me in a headlock and I can't move, but I'm not utterly without resource. I wrestled a college wrestler one time, just say I did it. He's half my size, and he's a nice guy. I really liked him. And I was always strong, you know, and I used to wrestle country boy wrestling and then college wrestling. And he said, well, I bet I can pin you to the ground in 3 minutes. I said, you're on. Boy, and I just tackled him. We hit the ground. That little dude rolled over on top of me, and I could not get out from under him. I could not break that hold. Every time I moved, he moved. Later, he showed me what he did. It was just a simple way. He put his legs. He braced his feet on the ground. Now, I could lift 300 pounds those days. He weighed about 180. I couldn't move him. And he just laughed. Well, come on, big guy, get out of here. I thought about punching him in the nose. I did, but I thought, well, that's not college wrestling rules. I did that to a guy one time. He pinned me down, but he had me a chokehold. I don't like being choked. He said, how you going to get out of this? I went, right in the nose, like that. But I didn't punch this guy in the nose. I didn't get up till he let me up. But you know what? The enemy's not going to let you up. Amen. He will not let you up. And when he gets you pinned down, he wants to convince you that that's where you got to stay. You might as well say, uncle. Paul said, I'm not totally without resources. I like that. I say that now when I think of it. If I feel the devil attacking me, I am not totally without resources. Jesus is on my side. And when it's enough, Jesus has let him up. And that old devil turns loose in me and backs away. Lets me get back up. Or Jesus Christ just reaches in there and gets a hold of me and pulls me back up. So get back on your feet. Paul said, I'm persecuted. Well, now we know that. This word in the Greek refers to a runner in a race. The word persecuted, every 5 years the Greeks had this Olympian Games. And that's why I think Paul must have liked them, because he uses a lot of metaphor in these games. But in the races, whoever was in the lead, the other runner's goal was to catch up to him and to outstrip him, which usually meant kicking your feet out from under you so you'd hit the ground and roll, and they'd run around you. And Paul says, in this life for Christ, I'm persecuted. People are trying to kick my feet out from under me every step I take. And the implication there as a runner is he's having to put some effort into this to stay in the lead. You know, he calls the life of a Christian, he calls it a race. Paul uses that analogy for a Christian, a race. In fact, in Hebrews he said, set aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles you. That means that causes you to trip yourself. Paul said, set it aside and run with perseverance. One translation says patience. I like perseverance better. It means you keep on going to the goal. That's what Paul said. Run with perseverance. You're aiming at this goal. Keep pointing at this goal. Don't lose sight of the goal. Even when people are running up and kicking you and pressing in around you and it seems like I'm going to lose this race, Paul said, keep running. He said to the church at Galatia, you were running well. Who hindered you? That's the same word. Paul said, who tripped you up? Pastor Paul said that Galatian church. He said, you were running a good race. Who tripped you up? Who knocked your feet out from under you? You're laying on the ground instead of being up here where you need to be. You got caught up in the hold of legalism. You think that to be a Christian, you got to keep the Ten Commandments without fault, which nobody can. You got to eat certain foods. You got to worship on certain days. Paul said, who kicked your feet out from under you? That's not what I told you. He said in Hebrews, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. There's that word for persecute also. Clings. It sticks to you. This old body has the desires it had 30 years ago. But my want to's changed. Church, Jesus has shown me a better way. I don't get high because I don't want to. It's not because I'm afraid I'll get caught. It's not because I'm afraid I'm going to get paranoid. It's because I don't want to get high. I don't need to get high anymore. I don't need Jack Daniels anymore. I don't need meth anymore. I don't need all that stuff I used to chase after. I found someone better. Okay? But in this race, my race of life, that stuff clings to me. Those temptations are real to me today as they were 30 years ago. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on my Lord. Because there's days I literally cry out and say, Lord, deliver me from this temptation. And I've never once had him say, nope, you're on your own. You ought to be over that by now. Now, there's a day coming, the Bible says, when this body will be redeemed. And there won't be any more desire for the drugs and the booze and all the other stuff. It won't be there. I believe the memories will be gone. It'll be wiped clean. I'll be in a glorified body. I hope it's a little lighter and a little bit prettier than the one I got now. But I'm going to be in a glorified body. Paul says, we're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. That word in the Greek means not deserted. You're not running this race alone. Paul's saying God doesn't sit up there and laugh at you when things in life are trying to kick your feet out from under you. He's right there with you. But you know what I found out reading about him in the Old Testament? He used to say to the Jews, I allowed this to happen so you could see what's in you. Where do you turn? I struggled a lot with my addictions, even after I became a Christian. And what broke it for me, I mean mentally, what broke it off was the Holy Spirit began to say, that's your God. You call me God, but that's your God. The alcohol is your God. The weed's your God. That's where you turn to when you want comfort. And that broke my heart. We're still working on food. You know, but it's like, hey, God, I gave all that other stuff up. Cut me some slack. Amen. If he ain't done it. You know, that's something 5 years ago I didn't give any thought about what I ate, but boy, now it's on the front of my mind. That's a drag when you go to Brahms and the Holy Spirit says, do you really need to eat that? No. Give me a salad. Well, I'm lying. I never order a salad in Brahms. My wife's sitting there. She can tell you that. I said, what's that? Huh? What? That's what we do to God. What? Huh? Paul says, I'm persecuted, but I'm not deserted. Now, this isn't Paul singing the blues, and this isn't Paul bragging on Paul. This is Paul sharing the church, giving the church this honest look into his life as a Christian. He says, I'm struck down. This is a wrestling term. This refers to when your enemy gripes you, gets you in that hold, picks you up over his head, and slams you to the ground. You ever had that happen? Don't raise your hand. I have. And I told you, I learned real quick one time, you don't want to stay there. When you hit the ground, you try to roll and get back up on your feet. The ground's not a good place to be. But Paul's saying to the church, I've had Satan literally body slam me. What'd he do? Lay there and sing, nobody knows the troubles I've seen? Huh? He said, I'm not destroyed. The Greek there says, I'm not killed. I'm still here. Paul said, I'm still here. I remember years ago, this big old boy didn't like me. I don't know why. I'm such a lovable kind of person, but he didn't like me. And we were both drunk, and he come up behind me, and when he said something, I turned around, he hit me. Oh, man, he hit me hard. I hit the ground, and I got back up. And he laughed and he hit me again. I fell down and I got back up. He hit me the third time. He broke his hand. He told me that later. That's why he didn't hit me the fourth time. He broke his hand. He hit me so hard and I hit the ground. I got up. He said, "Why don't you stay down?" I said, "I don't know." And I honestly, that's the way I don't know why I don't stay down, other than I don't want to stay on the ground and get hurt. But something in me kept saying, "Get up. Get up. If you're going to take a whip and take it on your feet, church, if you're going to take a whip and take it on your feet." Yes. Amen. Take it on your feet. Get up in the name of Jesus. Look at your enemy and say, "You've already been defeated. And greater is he that's in me than you. And I ain't going to quit." That ain't correct English. That's hillbilly vernacular, but it works for me. I ain't going to quit. I'm not going to quit until the day that he calls me home or he comes back and says, "It's okay, Rick, put your armor down. The fighting's done." Whew. Praise God. And if I, by his grace, enter the kingdom of heaven, I will sing and shout for eternity, "He brought me here. Not anything I did." Why don't you stand with me? I am not trying to make light of any problems you might be going through, Christian. But I'm saying that we walk by faith. And it shouldn't be based on how you feel. Because you can get into situations, you're going to feel terrible. You're going to feel by yourself like God's abandoned you. But I assure you, he hasn't. I just want you to understand, he's right there with you. And you cannot be whipped unless you choose to be whipped. Would our praise team come forward? If you're here this morning and you're struggling with this, we're praying. I'm praying for you. If you need to be prayed for, let us know. If you're here this morning and you want to be anointed with oil by the elders and be prayed for, we will lay hands on you and pray for you. If you're here this morning and you've never made that decision to follow Jesus Christ, I encourage you to do that today. As we sing, "I Give You My Heart."
This is my desire to walk. Give you my soul.
that you'd remember a friend of John and Marilyn's, Robert Stickle, in prayer. He's facing heart surgery, so they've asked that you pray for him. I know there's a lot of unspoken requests in here. Be praying about that. The Lord's moving in this church, and so is Satan. And that's just, that's life. So be praying about, be praying for the elders, be praying for one another, lift one another up in prayer. Any other requests you want to bring to the body? Karen? Okay. So be praying for this, Kathy Wilson.
Rick Janey asked that we remember Mark. He's leaving on a mission trip to Africa next Sunday.
Praise the Lord. Mark's going to Africa on a mission trip. Yeah, be praying for him. Any others? Brother Wayne?
I'm praying for my decision. Brother Gary's teaching on Wednesday night, teaching Mark. And a very good teacher, doing a really good job. And I just encourage you, each and every one of you, to consider him.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, try to be here for Wednesday night. Try to be here on Sunday nights. We're doing a discipleship session out of Francis Chan's book, Multiply. You're going to be where you want to be. You know. So if you want to be here, be here. If you don't want to be here, stay home and watch Downton Abbey or whatever it is you want to do. We're going to keep worshiping. Brother Gary, would you close in prayer for us?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word that we've heard today and the encouragement that we can get from it, Father. We know that even in this congregation, Father, that people are hurting and despair and are confused, and Father, and we just pray a blessing upon them that you would heal and you would give direction to their lives that we may that they may continue a full life and continually work for you. Father, each and every one here, we need your blessings. We need your love. We need you to keep us safe as we go throughout our week. We thank you for your Son and everything that he's done for us. We just give him all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.